Romans chapter 8, and we'll read beginning with verse number 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, here God tells us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's stop there and ask God's blessing. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful passage of scripture as we just briefly consider it this evening. Father, comfort our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite verses in all of scripture, and I've mentioned it before, is that last verse we just read, Romans chapter 8, verse number 37, when God tells us that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That whole idea behind more than conquerors is a phrase that is interesting to study and to meditate upon. It's the combination of two words, the word to conquer, just the common word for conquer in the Greek language, conquer victory, but it has added to it a prefix, which means over and above. And so on the third Saturday, the third weekend of November this coming year, I hope those boys in yellow and blue are more than conquerors against that team that wears those other colors that you probably root for, at least most of you. That would just really make me feel nice. If they were, I mean, more than conquerors would probably be about 140-0 type of a game, where the Ohio State running game with the absence of Troy Smith had negative yardage. Now, I'm really dreaming here, but as long as I dream, I might as well dream big. And that's what this word, more than conquerors, is all about. If you're going to dream, dream big. And God says, if I'm going to promise, I'm going to promise big. He says, I'm not going to just give you a little promise. He says, I'm going to give you a big promise. And it is a promise of God. If you look at this, there is absolutely no way to take it in any other way but a promise of God. Something that is our present possession. Not something we have to wait to receive. Not something that we have to qualify for. Throughout the entire chapter, the eighth chapter of Romans, he's talking about those who are saved. He begins contrasting a little bit with those who are lost, but he's focusing in on those who know Christ as their Savior, those who have been redeemed, those who possess the indwelling Spirit of God. And he says to those who are saved, who possess the indwelling Spirit of God, he says, you are, whether you believe it or not, whether you live like it or not, whether you accept it or not, he says, you are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so that's what I want to look at just briefly this evening. The idea of being more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Because there's five things here in these three verses that we need to see about being a conqueror. Now, we are conquerors. There is no way to other way to put it. No way to deny it, according to this passage of Scripture. But there's some things we need to know about conquering so that we understand what God is talking about. The first thing that we need to notice is back in verse 35. And what we find out from verse 35 is that conquering comes in the form of trials. Conquering comes in the form of trials. Look what it says there, the things that are listed in verse number 35 about, or in response to the question of who shall separate us from the love of Christ. And of course, the answer is nothing will separate us and no one will separate us. They cannot separate us because we are more than conquerors. But he lists a number of things here that we see so often and we experience. And when these things come in our lives, we think we're defeated. We see them in the lives of another Christian. We say, well, they're not a conqueror. They have succumbed to this world and the powers of darkness. And God says, oh, no. He says, that's not the case. They may not be responding well to the situation, but they're still more than a conqueror. The first thing he tells us is tribulation. This means to have pressure put on us. And so it gives us the idea of our world crashing down and pressing in on us. When circumstances become overwhelming and we feel the pressure that we just can't endure, that we can't resolve the issues. God says in times like that, he says you can be and you are more than a conqueror. If we would look back in chapter 5, we would find that God uses these situations to cause Christian growth in our lives. If we didn't have the pressure, we would never grow as Christians. We never grow into the image of Christ. If we would look back into chapter 8, verse number 28, we would find that even all these things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And so we find that all things, good things, bad things, pleasant things, unpleasant things, work together for good. And one of those is tribulation. A second of those is distress. Distress. Now, this is somewhat of a picturesque word. It is speaking of a narrow, confined space. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a cave. We've been down in Mammoth Cave. I've been there a couple of times. I was there when I was a kid. We used to live not too far from Mammoth Cave, and we went there a couple of times. And you can go down in those caves, and for the most part, Mammoth Cave is well named. There's lots of space to get through. But there's a few places in Mammoth Caves where the place is quite narrow. And as I go through those narrow places, I'm thinking to myself, who in their right mind would go through caves with openings so narrow, not knowing what's on the other side? You see, I have confidence that they know where they're taking us and that they've been that way before. And so there's no concern to me to get through that narrow cave. But there are those who had to do it the first time. And I just wonder how many people tried to slither between two rocks and got stuck. Now picture yourself in a cave spelunking and you try to slither through two rocks and you get stuck. That's what this word distress is talking about. Being what we use the phrase as, between a rock and a hard place. Where it seems like there's no place to go, nowhere to turn. You've run completely out of options in your life. God says that's distress. And He says that in these times of distress, when there's nowhere to turn but to God, nowhere to look but up, He says you are still more than a conqueror. Now we may debate that. We may question that, especially if we're the one going through it or if we're looking at someone who is going through it. But God says that in His Word, nay, in all these things, including distress, we are more than conquerors. A third thing that He mentions here is that of persecution. We understand that concept fairly well. It just means to be harassed, be harassed for what we believe. If you stood up for Christ anywhere among lost people, you've suffered some degree of persecution. Now, in our country, it's very mild. It's very easy. In other countries, it even goes to the point of losing life, sacrificing your life in very horrible ways. But we understand persecution. And when someone's going through persecution, we think, well, they must not be pleasing God. They must just be an obnoxious person. No, God says in that time, they are not defeated. They're more than a conqueror. We also have the phrase nakedness. When we get to the point where our clothing is withered and worn, while others wear nice new outfits, God says you're still more than a conqueror. If you ever get to the point where you can't put clothes on your back because of being a Christian, now we don't understand that in our affluent society. But there are societies and cultures in our world still today that would experience this situation. And God said life is more than the clothes on your back. Christianity is more than what you're wearing. It's unfortunate that you go to some churches and it's like a fashion show parade. I've been in churches like that. Everybody has to wear the latest styles, the newest clothes. And a lot of money is expended on that. There's nothing wrong if you're placing your money in the right places and supporting the Lord's work and missions. But God says that's not what life's all about. He says there's a lot more to it. And if you go through want and need in that area, He says you're still more than a conqueror. He says, I still haven't deserted you. You're still not defeated. He goes even further. I'm sorry, I skipped right over famine, didn't I? That's when the cupboards are bare and you're wondering where that next meal is going to come from. And again, a concept that very few of us have ever understood. Maybe you've been there. Those who lived in the 1930s understand what this is all about. And just because there's no food in the cupboard and the pantry's bare doesn't mean that you're defeated and conquered. God says even in that you're more than a conqueror. There's two more here in this verse number 35. He has the word peril. This just means to be in danger. In danger. Have you ever been in danger? You can go into the large urban areas and go into the inner city. You'll know what danger is all about. And though you may be a little concerned for your welfare and your well-being, God says you don't need to be, because you ought not be defeated. You ought not be concerned about those things. Even in those areas and in those times of your life, God says you're still more than a conqueror. And all these things, he says in verse 37. The final thing mentioned here in verse 35, as we see conquering comes in the form of trials, is that of the sword. Now this, I believe, is a reference to death. I believe Paul is speaking of personal experience. Paul was a more than conqueror in death, wasn't he? When he was stoned at Lystra and left for dead, gets up, brushes the dust off, and goes back in town and keeps preaching. Paul was more than a conqueror, but I think he says that we too are more than conquerors. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we're on our deathbed, we'll still be more than a conqueror, because the best is yet to come. And though it can be a difficult time, though it can be a painful time, though it can be a trying time, God says we're still more than conquerors, because when we finally are released from this body of the flesh and we wing our way upward into heaven, God says, oh, you'll understand it all then. You'll understand what it means to be more than a conqueror. And so he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. But you know, you can't conquer if there's no contest. Again, well, I'll talk about my Pistons. They're doing pretty good in the playoffs. I don't know if you follow basketball. But the big story of the playoffs this year is Ben Wallace. Now, you may not be aware of Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace had been the center, the starting center for the Detroit Pistons for the last, I believe, six seasons. It's a dominant force on the inside of the basketball court. Now, Big Ben, as they call him, is not a scorer. And that's why so few have heard of Ben Wallace. He'll score maybe 6-7 points a game. And that's when he's best, when that's all he scores. But what Ben Wallace does that makes him dominant is he intimidates anyone else that comes to the basket trying to score. That's his niche in the NBA, his defense, and has made him a star player and a very highly paid free agent, because after the completion of the last season, he played out his free agency and signed with the Chicago Bulls, the rivals of the Detroit Pistons. And the question was, would they meet in the playoffs? And lo and behold, they met in the playoffs in the second round that began yesterday. And I'm happy to say and inform you, as I'm sure you're all enthused to hear, if you haven't heard already, the Pistons were more than conquerors. I believe this final score is 94-69. And they just stomped them. It was something. They just annihilated them. And poor old Big Ben sitting on the wrong bench. But if there wasn't a contest, the Pistons couldn't have been more than conquerors. I don't know if you ever played sports. I did, and there were those times when the other team forfeited. Not very often, but I wrestled, and sometimes you wrestle against smaller schools. And when you wrestle against smaller schools, they don't have enough wrestlers to fill out all the weight classes. And occasionally, you would look at the matchups, and you'd see next to your name as your opponent forfeit. And boy, your chin would sink, and you'd think, boy, it just isn't worth it. You wanted to go against, you wanted to compete so you could be a conqueror. If you won by forfeit, it wasn't a victory. It wasn't a victory. You weren't proud about it. You didn't brag about it. Well, some did. That was the only way they could win. We had fellows like that on our team. But if you knew what you're doing in wrestling, you didn't want to forfeit. Or in any athletic event, you want to compete and you want to conquer. And so the first thing we learn about being more than a conqueror, you've got to get in the contest. You've got to compete. And God says, just when we go through these things that we list there in verse 35, he says, that is your competition. But you're more than conquerors through it all. Now, the second thing we can learn, and we'll get through these other four fairly rapidly. We've seen conquering comes in the form of trials. We see, secondly, that suffering and conquering in our lives is for his sake. Suffering and conquering in our life, the suffering mentioned in verse 35, the conquering mentioned in verse 37, is not for our benefit, it's not for our good, it's not for our glory, not for our sake, but it's for God's sake. It tells that in verse 36, as written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. Does that sound enjoyable? This is a direct quotation out of the book of Psalms. He says, for your sake, God, we're killed all day long. We're going through extreme difficulty, but it's not because of what we've done, but it's for your sake. And so these things are not for our sake. The world doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around Christ. And we ought to be a living sacrifice, as it tells in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If we're a living sacrifice, even the trials and the difficulties we endure are for Christ and for His glory. And that's why He allows us to conquer, is for His glory. That's what, the way Moses prayed so frequently in those 40 years in the wilderness when the children of Israel were disobedient and God just wanted to strike them all dead. Moses would intercede and say, God, what will the nations around us think? They'll think you're weak and powerless and unable to take us into the promised land. And so God would then repent of His decision to destroy them because it's for His glory. We find, thirdly, that the world just does not understand the reason behind our trials. The world does not understand the reason behind our trials, nor the way of our victory. The world does not understand the reason behind our trials, nor the way of our victory. Again, this comes from verse number 36. As we complete the quotation from the book of Psalms, it says, we are accounted. In other words, someone else looks at them from the outside, a third party, and makes an assessment. They make an accounting, and they say, this is our evaluation of that Christian. He says, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're counted as sheep. They just don't get it. They just don't understand it. Why would we go through what we go through for Christ? Why would we give God 10% of everything we make? Why would we? Think about that. Why would we? Now, we've got good cause. Because God commanded us. Because He didn't withhold His Son. Why should we withhold 10%? That 10% is not ours in the first place. God says it's mine. And if you want to give me something, you've got to start from the 89% and down. Work your way down. Because that 10% isn't ours to give. It's already His. And it's our responsibility to give that. And so if we want to give God anything, we've got to start below that or above that number of 10%. The world doesn't understand that, though. They say, look at all the things you could do with that money. Look at what you could buy. Look at the entertainment you could enjoy. They just don't understand it. But we understand it. And it's because we understand it that we're more than conquerors. Now, the critics don't always come from the outside. Sometimes there's other people who name the name of Christ that are the most difficult critics to deal with. They say, why do you live the way you live? Why do you live a separated life? I don't understand that. And the persecution, the trouble comes from within the family of Christ. They just don't get it. And we need to understand that. That not everyone, in fact, most are not going to understand. And so we ought not let it derail us when someone else criticizes us when we live for Christ. And as we live for Christ, we fight the contest that allows us to be more than conquerors. Fourthly, we've seen that conquering comes in the form of trials. We've seen that suffering and conquering in our lives are for Christ's sake. We've seen that the world does not understand the reason behind our trials and our victories. And we see, fourthly, that complete victory is never in doubt. From verse number 37, when it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. And we see, finally, in verse 37, that our victory only comes through Christ. It only comes through Christ. It's through Him that loved us. We don't win the victory and become more than conquerors because of our talents, because of our abilities, because of our worth to God or to the church. We don't do it because of our religion or our faithfulness to God. So there's only one reason, only one way, only one source, only one method of victory, and that's Christ. Christ is our all. He is our all. And if we'll let Him be that, though we endure tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and the sword, God says, in all these things, through Christ, you're more than a conqueror. And so as we face challenges in our life, and challenges are on the horizon of all of our lives, this is on the horizon of our church, every day you wake up, there's challenges. But those challenges are opportunities to be more than conquerors through faith in Christ. And so let's let Him give us the victories. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the promises that we find in it, especially this promise of being more than a conqueror. Help us to claim this promise and help us to live it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.